But I, through the abundance of your steadfast love, will enter your house. I will bow down toward your holy temple in awe of you. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And our gospel lesson, our narrative lectionary lesson for the day, is from Luke chapter 9, verses 51 through 62. When the days drew near for Jesus to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the Gospel of Luke, there is this very specific point when Jesus' journey begins. And it's there in Luke 9:51, where Jesus sets his face toward Jerusalem. And for a little more than 10 chapters in Luke, everything that happens, all the parables that Jesus tells, all those times when Jesus is a guest for dinner in someone's home, all of those events happen while Jesus and the disciples are on the road. They're journeying from Galilee to Jerusalem. And during the coming weeks of the narrative lectionary, our perspective on each of those Sundays will be that Jesus is on the road. Now, our guest preacher this Sunday is not doing a narrative lectionary text, but this first coming Sunday would be the parable of the Good Samaritan, a story that we know well about how the first two very religious peoples passed by a man who had been robbed and left for dead on the side of the road. And then, surprise, surprise, it was a Samaritan who offered aid. And when we hear that story, we'll hear that from the perspective of the man who was beaten up, who was himself on the road. And in fact, when the audience first heard Jesus tell that parable, and they first heard how the two ultra-religious people didn't offer help, they fully expected that the third person in the story would be a faithful Jewish person much like themselves. And they could see themselves as being the hero of the story, that they would have this opportunity to offer aid. But when the third person who comes along and helps is a Samaritan, it's almost like Jesus pulled the rug out from under them. And the only place left in the story, the only character left for them to identify with, was the man who was left for dead along the side of the road. Now, it's one thing to imagine yourself offering comfort to a traditional enemy, like you yourself being the Good Samaritan and offering help. It's quite another thing to imagine a traditional enemy offering you help when you're extremely vulnerable and left for dead on the side of the road. And then there's another very famous parable that Jesus tells while he's on the road, the parable of the prodigal son. And we remember how the younger son wanted his inheritance right away, which was essentially a way of telling his father, "I wish you were dead." And he went away to the far country, spent all of the money. And then he was starving. And what could he do? He came up with this idea of maybe I can go home, ask to be one of my father's slaves, but he has no idea how that's going to turn out because he really did utterly disgrace the family. There's no guarantee that he'll be welcomed home at all. And then the big surprise. He's not only welcomed home, but the father orders a celebration for the whole town. Unimagined grace. And it's all the more poignant because he's been on the road with nowhere to call home, not having any idea how it will turn out. And likewise, Jesus will tell a parable about a very rich man and a beggar named Lazarus. And if we're on the road, where do we see ourselves in the story? It can't be in the position of the established rich man. It must mean that we're meant to enter the story as Lazarus, utterly vulnerable, completely dependent on what aid or help he can get from others. So this Lent, there may be some disciplines that you've already anticipated taking on, scripture reading, more time in prayer. There's an excellent Lenten devotional that Cindy Solin has made available on grief. There are many others that you can find online. There are lots of potential Lenten disciplines. But one perspective I invite us to embrace this Lent is to imagine ourselves on the road and imagine how vulnerable we would be. And may this help us to have empathy with all those who are so vulnerable, who are themselves refugees on the road, no place to call home, those who are in danger of losing their home or being deported, those who have been displaced because of war. How might we imagine ourselves in solidarity with them? Can we be on the lookout for the most vulnerable among us this Lent? And can we be aware of Jesus's presence and embrace of us just as Jesus embraces them? Dear friends, I invite us to try on that perspective during this Lent, during these 40 days. Amen.